Romans chapter 8, for those of you who were with us for the 4 years that we were in Romans, and Hebrews chapter number 1, for those of you who've been with us for the 4 months we've been in Hebrews 1 and 2. And I've been enjoying reading these two side by side and seeing the comparison between the two, and just a little, I'm sure I know this truth, I'm sure I've seen it, taught it, but maybe not in this sense. I want to just show you a little something I enjoyed during my reading this week. And let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, help me. I thank you for allowing me to be here today. I thank you, Lord, for the blessings on my life. I know everyone here would say the same. We're thankful to be in a place where Jesus Christ is praised and not cursed, and where the songs honor and glorify God instead of mock him, and where we can trust the people that we're with instead of worrying about how they're going to cheat us in some way or another. God, it's good to be in the church house. It really is. And now, Lord, we're thankful that we can read from the one book on the face of the earth that is true and righteous altogether, one that we can trust with our very souls and follow with every step of our lives. And we thank you, Father, that we have the Bible today. Pray that you speak to our hearts and minister to us and help us. In Jesus' name we do ask, and amen. Romans chapter number 8 says, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, is it not an amazing thing to you that you could be called a child of God? Amen. Hope you never lose the wonder of having a new birth, of having passed from death to life and have been rescued from hellfire and eternal damnation. Thank God. Thank God. And the verse doesn't say, as people misread it, misuse it, my spirit doesn't bear witness with your spirit about anything. The Holy Spirit of God testifies to your heart, to my heart, as we read the words of God, that if this Bible is true, and it is, then we can know of a certainty that we are God's children. It's really amazing. Thank the Lord for it. And if that weren't enough, the Bible says in verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, and it's not, no question about that, we certainly will and do, that we may be also glorified together, praise the Lord. So God takes the amazing truth of our new birth, of our being the children of God, and the amazing truth of our being heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and sets it down beside our certain suffering in this life, and says, you know, all things considered, you're in good shape. Whatever might transpire in your life, it's nothing compared to what I've done for you and am doing for you and will do for you forever, praise the Lord. Suffering, rain, giving up some things, heir of all things. Thomas Kelly said, if we are heirs of God, then no man should speak of having made sacrifices in becoming a Christian. We haven't lost anything. We haven't given up anything. We might suffer some things, but even here in the context, only very, very temporary. But this matter, don't lose Romans 8 just yet. Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse 1, for those of you who haven't memorized this yet, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, Jesus Christ is an heir of all things. And those of us who are born again are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Then you stand to inherit everything that God created and gave to his Son. He, in turn, as he gives that to the Son, will give that to you. That's pretty amazing. Now, here's what happens. because men are carnal, because men are materialistic, because men want lesser things more than greater things, the modern ministry in America has turned this hope of an inheritance into, wow, think how much money God can give me. Think what a big jet God can give me. Think what a mansion house God can give me. Think about the perfect health that God can give me as I claim the healing that's in the atonement. They shift everything from a spiritual new birth and a relationship to Jesus Christ to, I'm going to get more stuff. And how disappointing must that be to all the Christians who don't get more stuff? And all the Christians who don't get material things and who find out that if I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, why am I suffering? So I think it's always beneficial to study the Bible instead of watching TV preachers who use the Bible. We don't want to use the Bible. We want to search the Scriptures and make sure that we get the truth from God that will really help us in our lives. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 11:27, no, just for sake of time, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Jesus said in Matthew 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And though Jesus Christ is the heir of all things, it is evident that he is not at this time appropriating this promised inheritance. All power in heaven and earth is given unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet look what he allows governments to do. Look what he allows evil men to do. Look at all the sin that's done in and outside of religion. Only in Revelation chapter 11 at the return of Jesus Christ is it announced that he has taken to him his great power and has reigned. The power is his by right, but he's not yet taken to himself the exercise of that power. All things are delivered unto him of his Father, and yet Jesus Christ today allows communists to run Brazil and China, and he allows dictators to run much of the Middle East and parts of South America, and he allows corruption to rule the day in other nations, and just look at all the things that are done in the name of God in pagodas and temples and mosques and churches. So it's evident while everything belongs to Jesus Christ by right, everything is not yet his to possess and to govern. In part, what does he have? Those who are saved. Those who are saved. The only government Christ exercises on this earth today is over the hearts and lives of people who are saved and yield that control to him. That we are, if you will, the saved people, the true born-again believers, the churches that are right, biblically righteous, we are the Father's down payment to the Son. We're a little foretaste of what the entire earth will be when Jesus Christ returns and rules and reigns. Now, look with me in Luke chapter 15. Let's go there, Luke chapter 15. And people object to this idea that we can be heirs of God, and they say, well, God's not going to die, so how could we inherit from God? Biblically, the possessor does not have to be deceased for those he loves to inherit. Look in Luke chapter number 15. And the Bible says in verse 14, verse 11, said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. I want my inheritance. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I only point that out. We're not going to discuss this, what's known as the prodigal son this morning. I just want you to see that a father gave to his heir the heir's inheritance while the father is still alive. So we're on biblical grounds that God the Father can give some of Christ's inheritance to Christ now and withhold the bulk of that inheritance for a future day. Why is that important? Ephesians chapter number 1. Stay with me. We're going somewhere here, I hope. It worked in my mind. I don't know if it'll work in my sermon, but we're trying. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. And verse number 10, that a dispensation of the fullness of times, we're looking out into the future, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, but with her in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So in a future day, there's Jesus Christ. Everything belongs to him. The Father's given everything into his hand, into his power. Isn't that a blessing? Now, where do we come in? Verse 12, we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Have you done that? In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. So you weren't saved before the foundation of the world, and you weren't saved when you were born, and you weren't saved until you heard the gospel and believed it. Then when you trusted Christ, you entered into this glorious future. The glorious future that belongs to the Son of God, given to him by God the Father, is going to be the province, the property, the enjoyment of everyone who's believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Amen. All right, now watch. Ye were sealed, in verse 13, with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So here's an odd little thing. Jesus Christ is heir of all things, Hebrews chapter 1. In the endless ages to come, everything is going to be given by the Father to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 1. And because Romans 8 is true, everything the Father gives to the Son, which is everything, he's going to give to all his other sons, daughters, children, praise the Lord. Right now, the Holy Spirit has delivered to us a down payment on that inheritance. Okay, so let's just take a wild guess. And just some of you say there's 2 planets, 4 planets. Let's say there's 6 billion planets. Who knows? I don't know. You don't know. But you didn't get one when you got saved. Let's just limit to the earth. Let's say there's X number of square miles of territory on the earth. You didn't get any of them when you got saved. All the silver, all the gold on the face of the earth, all the plutonium and the lithium and uranium, everything else. It's going to all belong to Jesus Christ. It'll all belong to you. Guess how much of it you got when you got saved? None of it. In fact, if you really got saved, you got 10% less of it now than you had when you got saved. So, it's not a positive balance, it's a negative balance. So what then is this present possession, down payment, earnest money on my inheritance? First clue. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians 2. And verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's a quotation from the Old Testament, and I've heard it 1,000 times spoken by a Christian in a conversation or from the pulpit. Well, you know, I hadn't seen and ear hadn't heard, and it never even entered our hearts what God's prepared for them that love Him. Why are you stopping with the Old Testament? Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So, if you look to the Scripture with the eye of faith, you have seen what God has prepared for them that love Him. If you have listened to the Word of God with the ear of faith, you have heard what God has prepared for them that love Him. And if you have received these truths, God has revealed to your heart what He has prepared for them that love Him. It's our inheritance is not a secret. It's all laid out in Scripture. Now, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Well, then you can't know the things of God. But, verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Got it? So if you're saved, you don't wonder what happens to you when you die.
Right, right, right.
You don't wonder what becomes of your body. You don't wonder what becomes of your soul. You don't wonder where you're going. The Holy Spirit of God, as you read the Word of God, reveals to your eyes and your ears and your heart your blessed future. Praise the Lord. Short summary. I die today. My soul is absent from my body and present with the Lord. My body sometime thereafter will be disposed of and will await the resurrection rapture of the church, in which time my soul and body and spirit be reunited, and I will be with Christ as I was intended to be when God originally created man. I will be saved, sanctified, spirit, soul, and body in the presence of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I will come back with Christ to rule and reign on earth for 1,000 years. God will dispose of this earth, recreate it, remake it. I will dwell with Him coming in and out of the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city, which city is described in the Bible. There's no mystery about it if you're saved.
Amen.
We know our future. And as we suffer in our bodies today, as we struggle with our finances today, as we shed our tears of sorrow and grief and have our memorial services today, we lay them all beside our inheritance, our future, and the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, which thing is not a secret or mystery. It's well understood. Praise. That's what you just read. The Holy Spirit reveals to us the truth. Now, for 40 years, I've done funerals for people who are saved and people who weren't. And what you find doing all those funerals is saved people are as superstitious as lost people. And they have as many weird, unsubstantiated, how could this possibly help ideas as lost people do? Well, Mama got her wings. What does Mama want with wings? All the rest of that. It's no secret in the Bible where you're going, what God is going to do with you, how you will spend your eternity, the unspeakable health, wealth, joy, pleasure. It's incredible. How do you compare? Listen, with your mind, with your heart, how do you compare what we face as a little congregation of believers? Look at our prayer list. How do you compare that to no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no death, no suffering? The former things shall not come into mind. You can't compare the two. Well, now, if the Holy Spirit's giving me a down payment, what part of no sorrow do I get now? None. What part of no sickness do I get now? What part of no pain do I get now? What part of everlasting riches and wealth do I get now? I say to you biblically, none. So I saw this preacher one time. Oral Roberts preached that for years, and he's dead. Hagen, dead. Copeland, hard to tell. So many facelifts, you're not sure if he's dead or not. But what I'm telling you is when these people offer you in Christ's name as the down payment of your inheritance, material, physical blessings, how do you square that with Romans 8:17, the sufferings of this present time and the glory that shall be revealed? So the earnest of our inheritance can't be a part now of material riches, which will certainly be ours, and of freedom from troubles, which will certainly be ours. So where do we turn? 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And when you find it, we're going to read again from Romans chapter 8. 2 Peter 1. And Romans 8. Now, Romans 8, 16, Spirit of self bears witness our spirit that we are the children of God, and children then heirs, praise the Lord, heirs of God, that's great, and joint heirs with Christ, hallelujah. If so be we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. Heirs of God, glorified together. Look at verse number 28. We know that all things work together for good, them love God, them are the called according to his purpose. What's the purpose? Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Nobody's predestinated until after they're saved in the Bible. To be conformed to the image of his son. We might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, in the context, the wow part of your inheritance is not the solar system. The wow part of your inheritance is not thrones and crowns. The wow part of your inheritance is not to be in charge of things. The wow part of your inheritance is you are going to be as glorious, as sinless, as holy, as righteous as Jesus Christ himself. Now, everything is included in Christ's inheritance. But what the Holy Spirit, who's to reveal our future to us, points to when he says we're an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ is glorification, conformed to his image, glorified. Is it? That's what you just read. No names, no names. If I'm watching a TV preacher in 1985, and he's telling me that part of my salvation package is riches, proof, look how rich I am. Health, look how healthy I am. Fame and fortune, look how famous I am. And I read in 1989 he's getting divorced because he cheated on his wife. I don't want what he's selling. If you had a material inheritance, but it didn't change you from carnal to spiritual, from worldly to heavenly, from unrighteous to righteous, doesn't seem to me that you're latching on to the right part of your inheritance. Doesn't seem to me that you're emphasizing the part that the Holy Spirit, you ever think about that name? It's not the holy gold. It's not the holy health. It's the Holy Spirit. What am I going to be in eternity? Rich? Righteous. Powerful? Sanctified. Influential? Christ-like. What would I expect my down payment on that to be? Listen, Christ was holy in a manger. He was holy in a carpenter shop. He was holy getting his face ripped to shreds. He was holy hanging on a cross. He's holy on a throne right now in heaven. He'll be holy when he rules and reigns on this earth. His material condition changed dramatically from time to time and point to point. But who he was held constant, held true. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, servant apostle Jesus Christ, to them that obtain like precious faith, have you? You got a like precious faith? With us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. There's Peter with imputed righteousness by faith before Paul even got saved. Our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What part of your eternal inheritance have you received now as a down payment? Everything you need to be godly. Everything you need to live a godly life. Keep reading. Through the knowledge of Him that had called us to thrones and riches. No, to glory and virtue. How about that? Now, if the Holy Spirit's given to me so that the Holy Spirit can reveal to me from the Bible what my eye hasn't seen and my ear hasn't heard and my heart hasn't comprehended about what God is going to give me, and it's a full inheritance, the same inheritance He's going to give His Son, Jesus Christ, He's going to give to me. And that Holy Spirit is revealing to me now the earnest, the down payment of my inheritance. What would that be? An advanced portion, not of ruling power, but of righteousness. Not of material wealth, but of holiness. Not of physical well-being, but of sanctification in my heart, my mind, and my life. That shouldn't cause your shoulders to slump and for you to look down and see, wait, he must have missed something. With rare exceptions, our families are getting by with the money we have. They'd get by with that money a lot better if we were better people. Our neighbors don't need to see me get something else to put in the garage or park in the driveway. They need me to see me a bit more like Christ. This striving after material things, in so much that when I get saved and find out I'm an heir of Jesus Christ, my thoughts are material. It's not helping. The Holy Spirit came into my heart to bring with Him into my heart some holiness. Christ saved me and placed me in Himself, not so I could have more junk, but so I could be a little bit more like the One who saved me. Okay, take a look. Look at verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine property. No, the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. My brother, my sister, I say to you that when, according to Romans 8, according to Ephesians 1, when God is all finished with you, you will be just like Jesus Christ. All sin removed, all righteousness and holiness imputed, so that we will be, well, 1 John says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see Him, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And this Christ-likeness will be the manifestation that we're the sons of God. Not our riches, not our power, but our likeness to Jesus Christ. What's the down payment on that right now? It wouldn't be more money. It wouldn't be better health. It wouldn't be larger property. What would it be? More like Jesus today than yesterday. More like Jesus tomorrow than today. That's the earnest. That's the pledge of God. I'm going to do this for you in unlimited measure. Let me do it for you now in limited measure. Praise the Lord. Two passages that confuse people. Thank the Lord. I didn't know if we'd get to these, but here we go. 1 Corinthians 6 and Galatians 5. 1 Corinthians 6 and Galatians 5. Nothing in the Bible teaches you earn your salvation. Therefore, nothing in the Bible teaches you could forfeit your salvation. It's not an earned reward. God's not our debtor. But there is some concern about misuse of our earnest, of our down payment. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I hope I'm in the right place here. Yes. Verse number 9. Know ye not the unrighteous should not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So a man who was a drunkard received Christ and was set apart from that alcohol. A man that was living in a situation of fornication received Christ as his Savior, and now he and the woman he was living with get married. A man was a thief. He was stealing things. And now he's trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, and he's no longer stealing. What is this? It is something imparted to him by the Holy Spirit in addition to his salvation. Not only are all his sins forgiven, but there's a new life that came with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And pastors and Christian friends and family members spend their lives urging people not to go back to the old ways, thereby wasting their inheritance. Look in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 18, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And the which I tell you before, and I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things should not inherit the kingdom of God. So look at this. The list we read, in some part, describes the life of everyone here before they trusted Christ as their Savior. None of you had to stop doing any or all of those things to be saved. You had to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and in spite of all those sins, He saved your soul and gave you everlasting life. But guess what else He did? The Holy Spirit came in, and you said in your heart with the Holy Spirit's prompting, I can't do that anymore. You came to church and heard preaching, and instead of saying, hey, who are you to tell me what to do? You said, I got to repent. Amen. Amen. Instead of finding a Facebook group of people who love Jesus and commit these sins, you found a group of people who helped you overcome these sins. What is that? That's the down payment, the earnest of your inheritance. Well, then how does it say here that if you do these things, you'll inherit the kingdom of heaven? Because you can waste your inheritance. Come back to Luke 15. Come back to Luke 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance. What's his substance? It's his inheritance. Where did he get it? From his father. With riotous living. And when he had spent all, he's still his father's heir. But his inheritance is gone. What did he do? He wasted the advance that his father gave him. Wasted his subsidized living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. He's living right now like a man with no father and no inheritance. Because he wasted what was given him. Now come down. Verse number 18. I'll arise and go to my father. You mean he's still got a father? And will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Well, that's a sad thing, but it's true. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father's heart never changed toward his son. He loved him when he was home. He loved him when he left. He loved him when he came back home. He didn't destroy his relationship. He destroyed his life. He wasted his earnest, his down payment. You say, where do you get that? Well, I'll show you. He said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight, no more worthy to call thy son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. And now the elder son's in the field, and he came, drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing. Guess what's his? Father's house. Father's fatted calf. Father's ring. Father's robe. Father's shoes. There's plenty more where that came from. What a sad thing that he wasted all those days and weeks and months and years throwing away the down payment on his inheritance. And what a shame. If I spend all my days and weeks and months and years not enjoying the holiness, the righteousness, the purity, the sanctification that the Holy Spirit wants to give me now so I can live a joyful life, not a hog pen life. Amen. A contented, satisfied life, not a prodigal son life. Your inheritance is going to be riches beyond comprehension. That's not your down payment. It's going to be property and lands beyond comprehension. It's not going to be your down payment. It certainly isn't physical health and all my problems gone, because being an heir of God is set right alongside suffering. What part of my everlasting inheritance can I have right now? All things that pertain to life and godliness, glory and virtue, Christ-like character.
Amen.
That's the part of my future inheritance I can enjoy today.
Amen.
Don't waste it. You can have a good home or a bad home, saved. You can have a sound mind or a messed up mind. saved. You can have a joyful heart or a bitter heart, saved. You can have a good life, life more abundantly, or a rotten life, saved. This son is the father's child. Home, gone, back home. Where was he? Where was he a happy child? Back home.
Yes, sir.
Back home. So I believe scripture with scripture that the down payment on our great, incredible inheritance is physical and material and spiritual. I believe the down payment on that inheritance is spiritual. And I believe we'd do better to take what the Father has given us in advance of our great inheritance and use it for His honor and glory, for our benefit, and for our well-being. Brother, there's nothing wrong with pursuing material things, but they won't satisfy you. More spiritual, less material. More of Christ, less of self. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed this morning. We have comfortable homes, vehicles to ride in, abundance of clothing, material things beyond number, food and food and food. God, you've been so good to us. And yet so many saved people have all these material things without joy and peace and happiness in their home, on their job, in their minds and hearts. Lord, would you help us to see this morning that you not only desire to save our souls and make us eternally wealthy, but that you desire to make us spiritually blessed, powerful and victorious right now in this life. Help us, Father, to receive from your hand the earnest, the down payment on our inheritance, not to waste it on riotous living, but to use it for your honor and glory and for our well-being. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.